welcome Zayo Church. How we doing today? Good to see y'all. Good to see you. Glad you're here with us today. I've got a great message planned for you. I'm very excited about this message. I had a lot of fun with this message. But before we jump into it, a few quick things. Men's conference is this week.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Where you at? We're excited about the conference this week. You're not going to want to miss it. We have guns and trucks and UTVs and guitars, and we have chances to win guns and gift cards and show off your talents. So make sure you come. It's going to be a great time this week and leading into next weekend, Saturday. You won't want to miss it. You can tap that dot in front of you, the circle dot in front of you, and to learn more about the men's conference. But please get registered. And before I jump into the message, I want to give another update. So we last week was Vision Sunday. I told you about where we have been, where we are, and where we're going as a church. And we talked about how we're building 50,000 square feet and this amazing build just 5 miles up the road. We're very excited about. But in order to help us to pay for this, we've called the church to a giving campaign that we've been in for 3 years, and we're going into the fourth and final year of this campaign. And just to, if you could, there's these little commitment cards on the seat back pocket in front of you. I'm asking everybody who calls Zayo home to fill one of these out and just to let us know where you're at on this. And so just a little refresher, those top two boxes are if you've made a commitment to this pledge in the past 3 years. Just want to know what you pledged and how much of that pledge you plan on fulfilling. And then that bottom box is if you're new to Zayo in the past year, or you've never made a pledge, or if you've fulfilled your pledge, let us know about a one-year commitment you can make on that. Let me just tell you the numbers where we've been on this commitment. It's been a very successful campaign, but we have received over $6.1 million in campaign commitments, which is just amazing. And we have received a little bit over half of that, a little over $3 million. And so that's why we need to see kind of where the church is at, if the church intends on fulfilling their commitments. And that helps us as we go into our financing and how we go about paying for all of this. But we're asking you to not give us a number today. Don't turn this in yet. But come back on November 2nd is commitment day. Come back with that card filled out. You're going to turn it in, and we're going to pray over it and pray over you for making the commitment. So you won't want to miss that Sunday. Let me tell you why else you don't want to miss that Sunday. I'm going to give you a little teaser here. I told you last week that we have been working hard on the next step. There'll be an interim phase before we move into our build because of permitting and building. We see this next interim phase to be about a 3 to 5 year plan before we can move into this amazing build. And our team is working hard behind the scenes, and I'm excited to tell you on November 2nd what we're going to be doing, as our team has been working very hard on that, and we're excited to present that to you. So I told you it's a teaser. I'm not going to just tell you right now. There's still some things to figure out, but we feel like we have a good plan of action, so I'm excited to present that to you. November 2nd, commitment day, and telling you what's next, all right? You guys excited about all this? I know it's a lot, but you can visit outside. There's a display about what we're building. You can take these prayer jars home, this dirt from the land. You can pray with us as we're going through this process. Very exciting stuff. I love this idea. Prayer, dirt from the land. It's awesome. Put it somewhere and pray for us, all right? Well, today we kick off a brand new series that I'm very excited about called Faithful and Fruitful. Someone say faithful.
Faithful.
Someone say fruitful.
Fruitful.
I'm excited about the series. And more than that, I'm excited that the impact and the life change that this series has or can have on your life if you let it. As always, I go into a series and I think about this. This series has the ability to transform your life, but it also has the ability to be dismissed by you. What I want to teach through in this series, I guarantee you, if you allow it, it will transform your life. And the enemy knows that. So he's going to do all that he can to turn your attention away from what the Lord wants to do through this series. Don't shake off this series. Don't dismiss this series. Don't allow the enemy to lead you to any other place than to him in this series. Press in and receive. I promise this could be a transformational series for you. I even had someone in the break say, hey, I've never heard anybody preach on that before. So hopefully you'll learn something today. And let me say this. I don't want anything from you. I only want something for you. And what I want for you is a faithful and fruitful life. That's what I'm after. You know those two go hand in hand, faithful and fruitful? Biblically, when you look at someone or something being faithful, you also see that that person is fruitful. Let me give the theme verse for our series. It's Matthew 25, 21. It says this. I hope and pray this is what's said over you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Now I'm going to set you over much. I just want to point something out in this theme verse for our series. The first thing I want to point out is we're all servants. I know the Bible actually says don't think yourself more highly than you ought, because at the end of the day, you're a servant to the king. But notice what happens when you are faithful. You become fruitful. This is the words of Jesus. When you are faithful with the little bit that you have been given, you will be given much, much more. However, the opposite of that is true as well. If you are not faithful with that which you have been given, you will not be given any more. And the Bible even tells us that which you have been given will be taken away from you. This is kingdom math. This is the promise of Jesus, that when you are faithful, it's the promise, you will be fruitful. When you are faithful, you will be fruitful. And that's the heart of this series. How do we become faithful so that we can ensure ourselves to be fruitful? You know, I've never met anyone who didn't want to be fruitful. I never met anybody who didn't want to be blessed. Nobody? Okay, maybe you guys are the first ones, right? I think we all want to be blessed. We all want to be fruitful. But in order to get what we want, it's not about working harder, working smarter, ripping people off, cutting corners, achieving more. If you want what God wants for you, you got to be faithful. That's the secret. To be faithful, you will be fruitful. So in week one, I want to kick this series off by talking about the little. In that verse, it says, you have been faithful over a little. To be faithful with little. If you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is Little is Not Little. Little is not little. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. Would you speak to our hearts about being faithful servants? In Jesus' name, amen. Little is not little. Turn to someone little and say, little is not little. Amen. Little is not little. Amen. Pastor D says, little is not little. Little's not little, y'all. I thought about little's not little, right? If little was little, then we wouldn't want little. I mean, who wants less? None of us want less. Little's not little. Have you heard the expression that less is more? If you're like me, you've been taught that more is better. More is better. More is better. That's why we don't want little. Because little is bad, more is good. Right? Little, bad, more, good. Why would we want little? Because we want more. My whole life, I have believed that if one is good, then two is
better.
If $1 is good, then $2 is
better.
If one cheeseburger is good, then a double cheeseburger is?
Better.
Maybe a heart attack, but it's better. For all my ladies in the room, if one pair of shoes is good, then two pairs of shoes is?
Better.
If one house is good, then a lake house, a second house is?
Better.
If one wife is good, then two wives are? Trouble. Don't even answer that. Don't even say it. Big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. We've all grown up hearing that if one of something is good, then two of that same thing is just so much better. Take these Skittles, for example. How many of y'all are Skittle people? Here's some Skittles. Skittles? You're not going to want to eat these, but just for the illustration. Come on. Just want to throw them. Here, deer, take some Skittles. Some Skittles. Let's see. Come on, Travis. Just fun. Fun that I can throw things from the stage. I love any other Skittle people in the room? Any other Skittle people? Why? What is wrong with you? Same reaction last service. We don't like Skittles in here, or you just don't want to admit to your... Yeah. When I was young, Skittles was my go-to. Skittles was my go-to when I was young. Like... I've always believed if like one Skittle was good, two Skittles are much better, until I got older and my body didn't really believe in that anymore. I remember taking a road trip recently and I thought, you know, my childhood cravings are kicking in. I need some Skittles. And so I went to the gas station, and instead of buying the single pack Skittles, I bought the king size. Anybody else a king size? Yeah, it was a long road trip, right? I dominated those Skittles in about a minute, and then I threw up the rainbow. You know, I just like, it came right back up, and it was very colorful, very colorful. I found out that day that one might be good, but two might not be better. Today I want to talk about this idea that little is not little, and less is more. So I wanted to try something different. I have been preaching since I've been 16 years old, every single week since I've been 16 years old, every single week since I've been 16 years old. I preached my first message, I think I was 12 years old. I've been preaching a long time. I've never done what I'm about to do today. But in honor of the sermon, less is more, little is not little, I wanted to give you one scripture today. I've never done that in my entire preaching life. Now, I can't promise you I'm not going to quote other scriptures because the word of God is hidden in my heart and I may come out. I'm telling you, it's going to come out. But I'm saying I only have one scripture for you today, not because less scripture is better. But if we take one scripture and we talk about it and we quote it, I promise you I'm going to get this one scripture in your mind. You're going to memorize it. Then maybe that scripture will be actually implemented into your life. And maybe we might prove the point that less is more. You ready for the scripture? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now, you're going to say it with me. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I didn't believe you, so one more time. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let me just show it to you. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I'm just going to say it again, and Skittles are, they're messy. Better is one handful, yay, than two handfuls, no. Better is one handful with peace, tranquility, than two handfuls of toil and stress, anxiety, and chasing after the wind. This is a splash section. You never know what's going to happen. So let me ask you this question. Why is one handful better? Why is one handful with peace, tranquility better? Because if I have one handful, I got a free hand. I have one hand that if someone needs a hand, I'm able to give it. Someone needs help, I'm there to lend it. Why is one hand better? Because if somebody needs something, Shelton, I know you need more Skittles. You have one right there, don't you? I'm able to go to my other hand. Don't eat it. I'm able to say, my boy Cole, you need something. I got something for you. I'm able to give something. I'm not only able to help somebody, I'm able to give somebody something. I like this one right here. I'm trying to see you. I'm going to come right in the middle of these two guys right here. Why is one hand better? But y'all can't see me back there. I'm going to come up. I'm just coming to you. You can do it. Because if I can have an open hand, I can go to somebody in need, put my arm around them. I got you. I have one hand, but I got an open hand. I can go to somebody in need. I can extend a hand. I can give something. I can comfort somebody. Here's something else. If Mark wants to give me something, I got two hands closed, I can't receive, but if he wants to give me something, I can receive it. Why is one hand better? Because you have an open hand. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of toil and chasing after the wind. Here's what I want to focus on today. I was shaking hands in the lobby, like, that's a Skittle. There you go. Sorry about that, sir. I want to focus on this today. You have been faithful over a little, our theme verse says. Why is less more? Why is less more? And let me tell you right now, because less of what doesn't matter positions us to experience more of what does matter. Less of what doesn't matter. I got two hands of things that don't matter. If I got an open hand, it positions me to experience more of what does matter. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to have fun with this. We're going to have a little interaction moment. I told you this is a fun message. I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to take a poll. What matters most to you? What matters most to you? Do me a favor and pull out your phones. And as you tap that circle dot right in front of you, there's a survey that we're taking right now. And I'm going to have you engage with us in this survey, in this poll. It's just a one question, ask and answer. What matters most to you? And I have my phone right here. Thank you to you. And I'm going to read out what I'm seeing. So take that poll. Little interaction moment. Take that poll. And I want you to tell me what you are, what matters most. See, I know, dude. I think these Skittles are giving me an allergic reaction. What matters most to you? What matters most to you? Okay, I have them right here. We have God, faith, family. You're telling me this. You're preaching my message. Kids, marriage, health, friends. There's a lot of things. Eternity. There's a lot of things on here that matters most to you. You're preaching my message for me. You know what's not on this list right here? Finances, retirement, money, a new Rolex, a boat, a new house, a phone. I'm not seeing any earthly possessions on this list. You see, when you define what matters most, what you will recognize is that we spend much of our time and energy pursuing that which doesn't matter instead of pursuing that which does matter. You told me the right answers, but I'm just wondering, does your life reflect that? Or are you spending your time and energy pursuing that which doesn't matter? Why do we fall into this lie? We all do it. Why do we fall into this lie that more is better? I believe we fall into this lie because that which we don't have is exactly what we think we need. It's this FOMO idea. Like I don't have that, therefore I want it. I see that you have it and I don't have it, therefore I need it. Less, I don't want less, I want more. But what I'm trying to show you today is that more is not always better. Could it be that less is more? Because better is one handful, say it with me, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So to help us understand this, I got 3 points for you today. 3 thoughts on how to live a life where less is more and little is not little. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. It's time to cut back. Time to cut back. It's time to cut back. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to accumulate stuff in your life? Anybody? Let me say it another way. Have you ever realized how easy it is to accumulate junk in your life? Anybody else? Anybody else, right? Listen, when Allie and I were first married, we moved into a small apartment. Man, those are the days. Newlyweds, enjoying life. See a couple here, right? We just married them recently. Oh, just newlywed, right? Don't have much. You're bringing in like kind of what you have. And listen, what I brought into the relationship was a couple street signs that I stole that I had in college, my grandma's hand-me-down kitchen table, and a bunch of junk that my wife just threw away everything. Like, and what my wife brought in was exactly what we had in our house. Like, why is that, husbands, for a second? Everything that we have and we bring into the relationship doesn't make it in the house. Anybody else experience that? Like, oh, my house is now pink. Yeah, that's exactly what I had in college. So all my stuff was junk, and then all my wife's stuff was our decor and our furniture. And I was feeling that funny. I literally had street signs. My wife was like, why do you have street signs up in your room? I'm like, I don't know, because I don't like blank walls. I don't know. But then we got our first house, and we started to accumulate a few things, right? Getting things together. And then we got our second house. We accumulated a little bit more. And when we got that second house, it was like everything we had, we were able to fit inside the house or in the garage, right? We start to trickle out into the garage. But then we had kids. And we realized why houses are made with attics. Never touched the attic until I had kids, and now all that's in the attic is my kids' stuff, right? Anybody else? Before you know it, you have a house full of junk. And then we had three kids, had a few more moves, moved to Austin, tons of stuff, and we did what most of you, some of you, probably have done in the past. We rented a storage unit to store that stuff. What happened to us? We didn't start out with much, but now we have so much that we pay someone to store that stuff, and stuff that we will never see or even use. I am paying someone to keep stuff that I don't even want anymore. What is wrong with us as a society? Every now and again, we need to remember that less is more, because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. One handful means contentment, peace, margin. Two handfuls means overload, busyness, anxiety, stress. When you've got both handfuls, and you're gripping it hard, and God wants to give you something, you can't receive it. We need to understand this principle that Jesus told us. I'm not going to quote it to you, because this is a one scripture message. But in Luke 12:15, Jesus reminds us that for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus said, your life does not consist in the things that you have. I think we know that, but we struggle to live it out, because culture keeps telling us less is more. More money, more toys, more square footage, more success. And Jesus says, no, more stuff doesn't make up your life. You see, the more you chase abundance, the more you lose peace. The more you fill your hands, the less room you have for God. We like to accumulate and acquire and chase after abundance, but less is more. And if less is more, we need to consider cutting back. We need to cut back so we can gain where it really matters. Cut back on stuff to gain space. Cut back on spending to gain freedom. Cut back on commitments to gain peace. Cut back on scrolling to gain time with family. Cut back on the temporary to make room for the eternal. Faithful people know when to say enough. Because when your hands are full of everything else, you can't grab a hold of that which really matters. If less is more, we got to cut back. So I just wonder, where can you cut back in your life? Here's a second thing as we go through these 3 points. The next thing you got to do is you got to clear out. Not only do we have to cut back, we got to clear out. There's some things in our life that we need to clear out in order to make space for what really matters. I remember when I was in high school, I was trying my hardest to live for God. I was on fire for God. I was doing my best. I was going to church multiple times a week. I couldn't get enough. I was so in love with God, and I was growing. But I had some things that got in the way. Like I was a good kid, but boy, I loved explicit rap music. I know you can tell from my outfit today, but boy, I can get down. I won't even tell you what kind of music. I was going to say a band, but they're going to judge me, so I'm not going to say it. I was a clean kid, but I tried smoking. Like, okay, relax, I wasn't a smoker. But I bought one pack from a guy at lunch, and I felt like I was doing the biggest drug deal of my life, you know. That's all I ever owned was one pack of cigarettes. I was a kid trying to live for the Lord, but I was addicted to pornography. I tried, and I was living for God, but I had some things in the way. And I felt God come to me one day, and he said, Jared, I've got so much more that I want to give you, but you don't have the capacity to receive it because there's too much junk in your life. So, I don't know what came over me, but I grabbed a trash bag, and I went through, and I threw away all my explicit rap CDs, the one pack of cigarettes that I owned, and any junk in my life, any sin, I put it in this trash bag, and I felt like it was appropriate. I went up to the church, and I threw it away in the church dumpster. By the way, we got a church dumpster that would love your junk. It's open to you. We'll pay for it. But here's the thought. God, I want what you have to give me, but in order to receive that which you want to give me, I need to make some space. Because I got two hands of toil, and I can't receive anything from you. It's time to clear out. Could it be that God wants to give you something, but the problem is he can't? Because there's no more space for you to receive it in your life. You look like you're pretty consumed. You got two hands of toil. And God's saying, I want to give you something, but I can't because you can't receive it. Maybe there's some things that you need to clear out and make some space. We pray for blessing, but we won't clear out the bitterness. We ask for direction, but we won't clear out the distractions. We want peace, but we won't clear out the noise. We want breakthrough, but we won't clear out the excess. Maybe it's not that God isn't speaking. Maybe your life is just too crowded to hear him. Because better is one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of toil and chasing after the wind. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is throw something away. When you clear out, you create capacity for God to move. Think about this. I'm going to get you right here. Have you ever stood in front of your closet that's full of clothes and said, I got nothing to wear? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Got nothing to wear here every day, right? Or have you scrolled through Netflix for 30 minutes and finally came to the conclusion that there's nothing to watch? Anybody else? I wanted to watch a movie, but I scrolled instead. That was a lot of fun. Why? Because we're overwhelmed by too many choices. We think abundance brings freedom, but often it brings anxiety. Sometimes the reason you feel spiritually stuck isn't because you need more. It's because you need to clear out what's already there. Maybe it's time to clear some things out. Clear out some stuff to make space for peace. Clear out some sin to make space for grace. Clear out some distractions to make space for God's voice. Clear out some of your schedule to make space for your family. Here's the challenge. Every time you get something, give something away. Challenge your kids to go through their room and find 20 items they can give away. Challenge your spouse to go through their closet and give away 10 items. I had a husband say, I'm going through my wife's closet when I get home. I wouldn't do that. But maybe the challenge is there. Here's something to remember. Get one, give one. You get something, give something away. Because sometimes the way you make room for God is by making less room of everything else. Better is one handful of peace than two handfuls of chaos. So clear it out, church. It's time to clear it out. Make room for what matters most. We're going to cut back. We're going to clear out. And here's the third and final thing right here. We're going to pay it off. We're going to pay off. I've never met anyone who said, I am so thankful for my debt. Man, that high interest loan makes me sleep so much better at night. My credit card debt, it brings me so much joy and happiness. I've never heard anybody whisper those words. But what I have heard from so many people is this: my debt stresses me out. I'm so worried about my finances. My spouse and I fight more about money than anything else. Man, what I would give to go back and undo that financial decision that we made. Man, debt doesn't bring peace, it brings pressure. It doesn't bring joy, it brings chains. And here's the truth: you can't be fully faithful when you're financially bound. I know it stinks. I know it's going to take a sacrifice. I know it's not fun, but it's time to pay off. Because you know it is fun? Being debt-free. Now, let me be clear, because I understand you have to do it at times. Debt doesn't make you evil. It just makes you entangled. Debt doesn't make you evil. It just makes you entangled. And when you're entangled, it's hard to be available to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life because you're entangled in debt. That's why the scriptures say this. I'm not going to quote it to you, but at Proverbs 22:7, I'm not going to show it to you, but because this is a one scripture message. The borrower is slave to the lender. Debt is bondage. It promises freedom, says buy now, enjoy now, worry later. But here's what I've learned about worry is later comes. Worry comes. And when it comes, it steals your joy, your sleep, your generosity, and your peace. So what do? We start paying off. I know it's not fun. I know it seems impossible, that debt you're staring at. But every step towards paying off that debt is a step towards freedom. And one by one, you get there. You pay off that credit card debt, that's a victory. Then you pay off that car debt, that's momentum. Then you pay off a student loan, that's breakthrough. And some of you have paid off a house. That's a miracle of God. Before you know it, because you took steps towards freedom, you have what so many people in this world never achieve, and that is margin. You create margin in your life. God moves in margin. If you don't have margin in your life, what can God do? When you live with margin, you live with peace. And peace is the breeding ground for fruitfulness. And before you know it, the steps you take to pay off debt, you now have the capacity to be used by God. I know there's some of you here, even as we talk about the campaign or giving, you go, I can't. I got debt. I got too much financial pressure on me. That is not of God, and that's not where God wants you. Because better is one handful with freedom and debt-free and peace and tranquility than two handfuls of debt, toil, and chasing after the wind. Listen, better is one handful in a paid-off car than two handfuls with a brand-new tricked-out car that keeps you up at night. Better is a smaller house, one hand, peace, smaller house, than a bigger house with so much pressure. Better is one hand, financial margin that enables you to help others than living with toil, two hands, living paycheck to paycheck, only worried about yourself. Faithful stewardship leads to freedom. Freedom leads to peace. And peace, that's where fruit grows. Listen, being debt-free is fun. It's not glamorous, but it's freeing, because you're not bound by your payments. You're free to be generous, free to be able to be used by God. I want to close with this kind of thought and a story here. I want to start with this statement. the richest people in the world are those that don't have the most. They are those that need the least. The richest people in the world are those that don't have the most. They are those that need the least. I've had the opportunity to lead several mission trips all over the world. And the same thing happens every single time to the team. We go to some poverty-stricken area, some poor neighborhood, some poor country. We saw it this past summer when we led a trip to Uganda, Africa. Day one, we take the team. You get there, and you see what these people are living in, and your heart breaks. They don't have running water. They have to walk miles just to get some water. They have dirt floors, no concrete. They live in a shack or a hut that they built, no electricity. It just breaks your heart. I can't believe they're living in these circumstances. Then day three, you start to normalize it. You see the kids playing on the dirt road with no shoes and no ball, bare feet with an old tire, bicycle tire and some sticks, and they're happy. Then midway through the trip, you go to a worship service and you see those same people who are living under those conditions. Man, they are worshiping God harder than you have ever worshiped God in your life. They seek God in a way that you've never seen before. Man, they seem happy with God. They seem content in their life. They seem fulfilled. There's no longing or this relentless pursuit of more. There's no two-hand toil living. They seem free. Then towards the end of the trip, you see these people who have nothing. See how happy and satisfied they are. And then something strange happens. It happens every time. You begin to envy the life that they have. Simplicity, dependency on God. And the team decides, I'm gonna take that mentality home. Man, I've got so much, I'm so blessed. So you go home with just this idea, this one-handed living. I want peace in my life. That's the way it starts out in the beginning. And you go about living your life, and then you go, oh. What are you doing? We need more. We need to gain. We need to achieve. We need to acquire. Next thing you know, you're this stressed out, anxious, toiled person once again. But it's amazing because while on the mission trip, you fell in love with this idea and this principle that less is more. You just forgot how to live it out. One thing I'm learning in life, it's a sad reality, but life passes by so fast. I mean, I have a teenager now. I was smoking cigarettes last week as a sophomore in high school, you know? One cigarette. Listen to Ludacris, you know? I'm just like, and now I got a teenager? You blink and a decade is gone. You blink again, and you're marrying your daughter off at the end of the year. Listen, this is the heart of the message right here. If you're not careful, you'll spend your one and only life chasing after that which never mattered in the first place. Hear me, Zayo. Your calling is too great. You have a calling on your life. Your life is too valuable, and your God is too good to waste these years in the trap of more. It's a trap. More is not better. Less is more. God didn't put you on this earth to gain and to accumulate, to attain. He puts you on this life to be faithful and fruitful, because better is one hand with peace and tranquility than two hands of toil and chasing after the wind. Let me say it a different way. Better is one handful in an intimate relationship with your kids than two handfuls and they grow up and they don't even know who you are. Amen. Better is one handful and a life-giving relationship with your friends than two handfuls and a schedule that keeps you so busy that no one really knows you. Better is one handful in a meaningful, thriving, amazing experiences with your family than two handfuls in a household of hearts that don't even know you. Better is one handful and a passionate, joy-filled marriage than two handfuls with a roommate and someone who you resent. Better is one handful and a chance to make an eternal difference through your giving than two handfuls spent living for yourself. And better is one handful and a deep, growing relationship with Jesus than two handfuls and a life that leads you straight to hell. It's time to cut back. It's time to clear out, to pay off. Because less is more when it makes room for what matters most. Faithfulness starts with simplicity. Fruitfulness starts with surrender. And when you live with one handful in peace, you'll finally have room to hold on to what God's been trying to give you all along. Jesus said, "You've been faithful over a little." But here's what I've learned. Little is not little when it's in the hands of God. What looks small to you can be significant to God. What feels ordinary can become extraordinary when you're faithful with it. Little is not little. Less is more. And when you're faithful with little, God's going to give you much. Can I pray for you? I just want you to take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit what He's saying to you through this message. See what He says. Father, forgive us for the relentless pursuit of more. Always wanting to achieve and to attain, to possess, to gain. And all along, You're saying less is more. Lord, help us to look down and see what we have in our hands and see that we've been chasing after what matters the least. And help us to give up so we can actually pursue what matters the most. And I want to pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus, those who have never asked Him to come into their lives. God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. He wants a relationship with you today. So if that's you today, right where you're at, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just pray this to God. Say, "God, today I'm coming to You. Today I give You my heart. I give You my life. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died for me in my place. And today I give You my life. Change me and make me new, God. I'm living for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer?